5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. More and more in today's sports world, teams have become their own media outlets. For years, those of us in the traditional broadcast media feared a couple of things. We feared the immediacy of information and teams taking things in-house. The immediacy of information was a big one. At the sports networks I worked for, we could rely on or depend on people tuning in at noon, 6 p.m., and 11 p.m. to get their in-depth sports information. But that changed so dramatically at the turn of the century. Everyone could get information immediately. News, video, stats, data, it was all available. Many traditional broadcast networks are still struggling to figure out how they are relevant in this new world order. That has been around for a decade plus, but some of us are slower to adapt than others. The other big fear was teams utilizing their access and turning into their own media provider. Think about it. As a former news director, I'd be working angles with the teams to allow us access to their players. Everything ran through PR. We had to get it approved. And half the time they'd say, no, we don't have time for that. No, we don't want that story told. No, 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 no. We couldn't get in the locker room. We couldn't get into the workouts behind the scenes. We couldn't see players in their natural environment. When we do a yearly threat assessment, this was always a big one for me. What if teams decide to do what we can't? What if they become their own media source? Well, that's our reality now, and it is incredible for the audience. Information in the moment, connectivity to the athletes, behind the scenes looks at the world of the elite athlete, visuals and moments shared instantaneously. But this doesn't happen on its own. It created a whole new employment potential. This new reality is backed by creative people knowing and deciphering what is interesting about what is happening right in front of them. They are the new agenda setters for our world. They tell us what is important with their team. They inspire us to share, like, and engage with their content. They are the gatekeeper to our knowledge, letting us in on a story or deciding to hold it back, realizing this isn't the right time to explore this angle. The new power operators in the sports information game are the team social media members, like today's guest, Zachary Gallia, social media manager for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, Zach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm really appreciative of you giving us some time. I know it's the quote-unquote off-season for the NFL, but I don't think you ever really get a day off.
No, I mean, it's the off-season, I think, consists only really of a couple days or a couple hours here and there, but that's what everyone in the sports world likes to call it, at least, is the off-season.
Yeah, right. Just because they're not playing the games doesn't mean you're not working.
Exactly.
Yeah. Before we dig into your role in social media with the Steelers, let's go back to your beginning a little bit. So many people assume you have to go to a big, well-known school to make it in major professional sports, but you went to a small school. You went to Adrian College in Michigan, just over 1,600 students, which is probably smaller than some of the high schools in the Pittsburgh area. Fast forward a few years, and you're the social media manager with one of the biggest brands in sports. So I know this is a broad question, but how did it happen for you?
I mean, in all honesty, it was a lot of hard work, but it was a lot of, you know, capitalizing on the right opportunities at the right time. When I was in school, the reason I ended up at Adrian College in the first place was because of hockey. I played hockey all growing up. They were starting a new program, had a lot of exciting things going on. So myself and one of my really good friends decided to go there. And, we both actually talked and decided we were going to be architects, before we actually ended up at Adrian. And then we went and scheduled classes and saw how much books cost and, kind of changed our major right there. So, took some classes, ended up falling in love with the communications field. Just was really into, you know, movies and video editing and sound editing and music and just really the whole industry. So, fast forward through college, I was thinking about going to film school, didn't really know exactly what path I wanted to take. Ended up with a major in communication and media arts, and then also a minor in marketing. So I was just trying to open as many doors as I possibly could. But You know, saw the price tag for film school being, you know, almost 200 grand, and decided against that as well. And, you know, ended up coaching hockey for a little bit, and then was lucky enough that the Speedway nearby, was looking for someone, you know, to edit videos and kind of take on that role. So, ended up there, wasn't a huge NASCAR fan, but, you know, knew that it was a great opportunity, and it was a great opportunity in sports. So, I went with that. You know, within probably the first couple months, I had a little sit down with my boss, and she said, you know, you're not really living up to expectations. We thought that you would take over all of our social media platforms by now. And I was kind of taken aback because I didn't really know that that was part of the job description, but I was like, consider it done. And ever since that moment, I've been just fascinated with social media and you know, the type of content you can produce and just how the industry has grown. And, you know, with that experience and reaching out to others in the industry and just trying to learn as much as I could about, you know, social media in sports, you know, brought me to getting a couple years experience kind of revamping everything that the Speedway was doing, editing videos, you know, taking photos, anything and everything I could to get experience. And, you know, the stars aligned, and I ended up lucky enough with the position with, you know, my hometown team in Pittsburgh. And, you know, here I am today.
Oh, it's pretty cool. So with a film school kind of creativity and your desire in that kind of realm, how much did that become an attribute? Obviously, you said you wrote, you produced, you shot and edited videos. How much of having that additional skill set helped set you apart from possibly your competition for some of these jobs?
I mean, it was huge with the Steelers, just because I was the first social media person that was hired in the history of the organization. So wow. They were looking for someone who had that passion and dedication to social media, but also could produce content, because we really didn't have a ton of people dedicated to that. So, you know, in my first couple of years with the Steelers, I was, not only was I posting and covering all the events, but I was also editing some videos. I was doing all of our graphic work. So just having that kind of expansive background and kind of a different skill set and being able to do a lot of different things kind of really opened up that opportunity for me.
I would imagine that the audiences are different with Michigan International Speedway and the Steelers. You're catering to a different audience. I'd imagine that the tone and the style may be different. How did you figure that out? What was your process for understanding the audiences you were trying to communicate with?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously one audience is slightly larger than the other. I think we celebrated 50,000 followers on Twitter when I was at the Speedway, and probably within the first 2 months of me being there, we celebrated 1 million followers on Twitter with the Steelers. So slightly different audiences, but I mean, it's all about just kind of putting yourself into those shoes and putting yourself into kind of the viewpoint of what the fans actually are. You know, I was lucky enough with the Speedway where who we were kind of marketing to was kind of my demographic, where it was, you know, NASCAR is a sport where there's most of the fans are just the diehard fans who have always been there. So trying to market the sport to a younger audience who doesn't necessarily know a lot about it, but making it interesting and exciting to that audience. So I was lucky enough to kind of almost market to myself, while creating all of this content and things like that. So moving on to the Steelers, it was a little bit more in depth, just because it's a gigantic fan base with years and years and years of history. But at the same time, I grew up in Pittsburgh and have been a fan all my life, and was one of the babies with the terrible towel on them when they were born. And so I had at least a little bit of background information on who Steelers fans are, because that's what my family has always been. So, you know, that gave me a little bit of a heads up and also helped me in the interview process. But it's just, it was all about research. And, you know, it's taken me probably, I mean, this will be my fifth season, and I think we're finally to a point where we're kind of at full speed and at full stride with the team that we have now. And just with my experience with being through all the different events and the ups and downs, and just kind of have the experience of what the fans are looking for on different channels, and you know, just who our fans are in general and how they react to things. So you know, a lot of it is being born into it, but you know, I would say even more of it is just kind of the trial and error and the research you do to familiarize yourself.
You see a lot of different approaches to social media by different organizations. You know, some are funny, some are very transactional, some are focused on the unique access that they have. What would you say is your preferred approach, and why has that worked for you? Why is that comfortable?
I mean, with the Steelers, again, it goes back to kind of you're the voice, you're the megaphone for the organization. So your tone and the way you approach things needs to kind of be exactly what the organization is. So, I mean, the Steelers and the city of Pittsburgh has always been, you know, hardworking, blue collar town, very respectful, very conservative, in regards to kind of putting out that viral type content. So, you know, we focus more on, kind of fine tuning the content that we have and the access that we have, to best reach the target audience we're going for, but doing it in a way that is the Steeler way. You know, it's something that everybody always talks about is the Steeler way. And it's something that you kind of learn when you get there. And something that I was kind of born into, but, you know, our approach is, you know, we want to give you the most entertaining and informative experience you can on all of our platforms. And, you know, yeah, we probably won't be able to send out some of the more viral, insane type stuff, but we make up for that with kind of very well-refined and well-produced content across the board.
What about planning? Are you able to kind of plan things out and know what's coming ahead of time, have an editorial calendar, kind of build out concepts and ideas ahead of time? Or do you have to be more in the moment and kind of feel what's happening with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I like to say we plan for the things we see ahead, but you have to be able to pivot at a moment's notice. So we try not to get too far ahead in our planning, but at the same time, making sure that everything in a baseline is set for, you know, every event, every week, every sort of campaign that we have going. But knowing that everything and anything we put on our social media calendar is subject to change. Because just like you said, anything, you know, you could be planning all kinds of content surrounding one type of player or one player or, you know, even one situation, and that could change with one game. So, you know, we plan and we try and stay ahead of everything as far as we can, but you have to be kind of nimble on your feet.
What about working with the players? I know that so many players now take their own brand into their own hands without getting into any specifics, obviously, but the players are their own marketing arm in a lot of ways. How is that for you trying to utilize their unique skill sets as a member of the organization and try to megaphone out, you know, access to them and what they're doing? How has that worked for you?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's just about working together. It's building a relationship with the guys and, you know, kind of understanding what their goals are on social media. And we get into that kind of stuff once the off-season program begins. And even when, you know, we make our draft picks and go and pick them up at the airport, kind of just getting to talk to them and let them know that, you know, anything that they might need social media wise, that's what we're here for. So, it's kind of a team effort across the board from our video staff, providing guys, different clips that they might need, our photographers sending stuff over to the guys that they ask for, you know, for practice, for games, for different events. And then it's just kind of making sure you shout them out and give them the proper recognition to help them grow. You know, a quote that I've always lived by is a high tide raises all ships. So if, you know, someone is looking at all of the things that Juju Smith-Schuster is doing, they're also looking at the team that he's playing for. So the better we can be across the board from players, organizations, and beyond is good for everybody.
Do you have certain goals you try to hit each day? Something that you want to deliver on as far as I want to do this many pieces of content and put them out to this many platform and have this many people we reach, or is it more intuitive than that?
Yeah, I would say statistically, we kind of know our baseline of what performs well or what a good performing post on a said platform is. I don't know that we put goals necessarily on statistics, but you know, my goal each and every day that I wake up is just to give the people looking at Pittsburgh Steelers content the best possible experience that they can get. You know, I want them to wake up and see on Twitter what they're looking for on Twitter from the Steelers, or see what they're looking for on Instagram from the Steelers. And, you know, I also just, not even selfishly, but just for the organization, my goal every day is, when people talk about the best teams in social media in professional sports and in the world, I want the Steelers to be a part of that.
That seems like a pretty good goal. We all have our opinions on what makes good content, and I'm sure your audience gives you feedback quite often, all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah,
exactly. Real-time feedback. But what about you? What do you gravitate towards? What kind of content and stories do you really like to tell?
I mean, the biggest thing for me is our players. I mean, they're what kind of drives things, and they're the people that our fans latch onto. So, you know, we have incredible access with these guys and get to know them personally and get to know their personality kind of behind their face mask. And that's the kind of content that we hope to provide each and every day, is basically an extension of, we want you to see these guys the way that we see these guys and get a glimpse into what the access is that we have. So, really anything that we can do to get the fans a little bit more connected to our players as people rather than just jersey numbers is kind of top of the list for us.
Yeah, for sure. As much as we talk about the creative side and the videos and the cool things you get to do for fan engagement, there's also the behind the scenes data and analysis aspect, budgets, tracking campaigns, evaluating successes and failures. How much of your time is spent in that area? And is it important for somebody to really understand that if they want to follow in your footsteps and work in sports social media?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I don't think you get the entire picture of how well a post is doing or how poorly it's doing until you see it from all different angles. You know, math has never been my strong suit, hence why I ended up in more of a creative field. But, you know, the numbers behind some of these things, you know, give you the baseline of this did well and this did not. You know, there's no, you can kind of make whatever argument you want, but those are facts. It's this post performed this well and this post did not perform that well. So the analytics side is something that's growing just like the, you know, social media as a whole. So, you know, having any sort of background in the analytics side of things, really paints the best picture that you could possibly have for just performance of your content.
If you were advising somebody who wants to follow in your footsteps, what would you tell them to focus in on? Would you want them to focus on that content side, or are there other aspects you think somebody that wants to work in sports social media should really hone in on to strengthen their skill set?
I mean, in social media, it is getting a little bit more specialized, where, you know, we finally have a graphic designer on staff. We have you know, a lot of video editors within our digital team. So there are people who are relatively specialized, but the biggest thing, and I mean, it's what got me to where I am today, is just being able to know how to do a lot of different things, being a jack of all trades and being able to kind of chip in and do whatever is necessary to help kind of get the job done. So, you know, there are a ton of different ways to get involved with, whether it's graphic design, whether it's video editing, whether it's photography, whether it's just copywriting, or, you know, really anything and everything. It's all kind of relevant within the social media world. And then just knowing the channels, you know, I know everybody in the world is on social media one way or another, but really understanding what content performs best on each platform and, you know, what does well and how long should each thing be and what orientation should they be, you know, whether vertical or horizontal, what, you know, all that kind of different stuff that you wouldn't think of if you're just scrolling through Twitter, but it matters in the long run. And the only way to do that is to kind of have the experience and go through and look at it.
You mentioned the technology and the different platforms. It seems like there's new things coming out constantly, and yet some come and go. I mean, Vine, a lot of them are already come and gone. How do you evaluate new potential tools and new potential platforms to understand if your audience is going to be there or if it's worth it for you to invest your time in?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's trial and error. You don't really know what you have until you try. So, you know, whether it's IGTV or Facebook Watch or, you know, even Instagram stories that have come around recently, it's something that you don't know necessarily what the outcome is going to be until you give it a shot and see how people use it. So, our kind of mindset is let's get out in front of all of this stuff and start producing content for each platform, no matter how new. And, you know, once you have a presence on there, it's much easier to pivot than realize that you don't have a presence on that platform and need to magically think up a strategy. So, you know, a lot of getting on the new platforms is just simply trial and error and seeing what, you know, what works for one fan base might not work for another. So it's just seeing how your fans react to it.
I know personally, I wasted a lot of time on Google Plus and that did not pay off.
I don't think you're the only one. So
yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't worry about it.
So, you know, people dream of working for an NFL team. People dream of working for their NFL team. So you've had a lot of jealous people listening, I'm sure. Take us back to that interview process. That's a hard part, to get noticed and to stand out for the right reasons. What was that process like? And looking back, what were kind of the hardest parts of it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very blessed to have this opportunity. I know, you know, a lot of my friends in the industry, it's, you know, they have great jobs and they work for teams that they care about, but it's not the team that they grew up with, which is, you know, where I kind of stand apart. But the hardest part is just getting your foot in the door. And that's as something as simple as just, you know, I sent in my resume and cover letter, prayed for the best. So I just made sure that, you know, my cover letter was exactly what I thought would get their attention. And, you know, the cover letter was something that got them to read my resume. And it also gives you a chance, instead of just putting bullet points down of your experience, it gives you a chance to let the, you know, potential employer get to know you and your kind of style of doing things. So, I mean, I just kind of put it all out in the line in my cover letter and talked about, you know, being a Steelers fan and all the, you know, the skills I have and what I bring to the table. And, you know, lucky enough was able to get an interview and got the job. But I don't think any part of the interview process is easy, to say the least. But it's just about, once you have your foot in the door, it's just about selling them as to why you are the exact right fit for the position. So just making sure I knew what the job description was and what they were looking for, you know, the skills and requirements that they had for this person, and just really going back and looking at all of their content, and kind of familiarizing myself more of with what they do rather than just as like a fan looking at their stuff. So, you know, it's all a very daunting process, especially when it's a job you really, really want. But it's, you know, the main part is just getting noticed and getting your foot in the door, and then you can kind of take it from there.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like your skills really spoke for themselves. So fast forward to now, what is game day like for you? Obviously you're working all week to prepare things and do, and you have a lot of different parts of your role, but game day has to be a totally different experience. What is that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically everything you do Monday through Saturday is kind of your normal job. And then Sunday is something all of its own. It's just kind of its own experience, and it's something very different and very cool about it. And, you know, I basically get there 4 or 5 hours before the game starts, just to kind of get situated and start gathering my content. So, I always kind of have a mental checklist of just things and places that I need to go to get different content and, you know, which orientation I need to get it in and for what platforms, and, just kind of go. You know, I'll get there, I'll stop in the locker room and take pictures and videos of, the players' equipment set up and their jerseys, go out in the field, take some video, go up in the stands, take some video, get set up, and then kind of wait for the players to arrive and keep going. So, you know, I've, again, having a couple new members on our social team, I'm blessed with being able to separate these tasks rather than doing it all myself as I did my first couple years. But, you know, the way that we kind of do things is just trying to give people unique experiences on each platform. So, you know, having one person manage an account, having me manage one account, having someone else manage another account, just so you're seeing the same type of content, but you're getting it from a different viewpoint than you would across all the platforms. So, you know, it's, like I said, game day is something else, and it's something all its own, but it's, you know, it's the best part of every week.
Sounds like a pretty good way to spend Sundays in the fall, I would imagine.
Yeah, no complaints here.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, we'll finish up with this. You deal with a lot of other teams in the NFL. I'm sure there's a lot of idea exchanges, and there's probably some super secret social media club where all the teams and all the leagues hang out together and exchange ideas. As we mentioned earlier, the Steelers only really started investing in their social media department a couple of years back when you started. Do you think, and you've just talked about how you've hired more people on to do more, do you think social media as a role within an organization still has room to grow?
I mean, I think across the board, no matter what organization you work for, social media has room to grow. Just with kind of the shift in behaviors of what people do and how people kind of consume content, it's showing that more people are consuming content on their phone than they are anywhere else. So you need people to be able to create content for the people looking at it. So, you know, there's always room to grow, and the more people you have, the better. You know, you just have to kind of find the right balance of skill sets and what skills you might need. You know, maybe some organizations don't have somebody that can do three or four things, and they want to bring in specific people to focus on specific kind of tasks. So it's really depends on how you want to build your team. But I think just the way social media has grown, even since I've graduated college, is, you know, the only direction it's going is up. So I would guess that a lot of teams would continue to invest in their social media teams.
It does seem like a fun way to be express yourself creatively without having to go to film school. You still get to do all the videos. You still get to have the great audience. You have a million person captive audience every time you tweet anything. That's pretty cool.
That's true. And I mean, I didn't have to spend, you know, $150,000 to do so.
Exactly. It's nice to have an audience. Oh, well, Zach, Thank you so much for coming on and explaining more about your role with the Steelers. I will admit, I'm from Boston, so you can guess where my allegiances are, but I think I'm going to follow the Steelers now anyway because of you. So I appreciate that.
I appreciate it. I think you might be the only one up there. So
That's for sure. Thanks, Zach. I really appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks to Zachary for coming on the show. Great insight into the world of sports social media, especially in the NFL. Don't forget to join me Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, for another Facebook Live session with me. Bring your sports career-focused questions, and we'll handle them live from the Work in Sports Facebook page. Thanks for listening, everyone. Now, get back to work.